The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Higher, baby. You're in the right place, that's for sure. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos. I've got Mo Brissette in studio with me and Linda Wen. And it's so great to have you guys here. We were joking about my silver boots right before we went live. I love these boots. I can actually play football in them. And I can throw like a guy, and I can catch like a guy.
You just said you can throw a 30 to 40 yard pass.
No, I said I can catch it. I can catch a 30 or 40 yard pass, and I can throw like a 20 or 30 yard pass in a perfect spiral. About, I don't know, 50, 60% of the time.
That's pretty legit.
Yeah, no, it is. I love football. In fact, I was very sad over the weekend counting the months that I have to wait until football. Like, I love football. I live and breathe football.
Yeah.
From the kickoff of the season till the Super Bowl, and I just can't wait for it to come back. It can't come back fast enough.
I was talking to somebody today about that this morning. Actually, I was like, baseball was on SportsCenter. I was like,
not doing it for me.
I guess I said, what if we just tried to watch baseball for a summer? Like, okay, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Because right now it's just depressing.
Well, you know what I used to do? I used to DVR great games during the season, and then I would watch them all summer long, and that would give me my drug, my football drug that I needed. And then I don't know.
There's
something about game day. Yes, and OU football. My boy, he's gone from he's back. He's in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Baker.
Yeah,
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
and
but
he's
I got to
Odell
watch him.
Beckham Jr. with him now.
I know.
Yeah, he does.
Is that crazy?
Be a powerhouse.
I think Cleveland really could win an AFC championship with
I
those
would
guys.
Love nothing more than to see the Browns win the Super Bowl.
Oh my God, would that be amazing?
Yeah.
And the city could. Oh my gosh.
Oh man, that'd be incredible.
That would be so incredible for Cleveland. But yeah. So it's great to have you guys in studio this morning. I've got Morris Brissette, who if you're maybe joining us for the first time, he is currently the director of mindset and nutrition at the Adaptive Training Foundation. He has been in the health and fitness industry for over 24 years, and he is an expert on human behavior, mindset, movement, and nutrition. Right now he's writing a book, actually, and we were talking about what he might name it.
Yes.
And you're going away for the summer to complete your book, correct?
Well, I'm going to go away late July. We're going to go to my wife's family's home in La Jolla to finish writing.
Wow,
yes.
That'll be nice. La Jolla is a nice place to hang
incredible.
Out.
It's incredible,
yeah. Yeah, it is. Well, best of luck to you doing
Thank
that.
You.
I've wanted to, everybody has told me for years, you need to write a book, Bernadette. You need to write a book.
You totally
Same.
Should.
I should. I mean, I'll have some great chapters. tell you that. My goodness. I think everybody's story should be told. And that's one
Absolutely.
Of the things I love doing about radio is hearing so many people's different life stories, because we all have one. And it's great to have you in studio with us today, Linda Wen. She's amazing. She's a PhD student. She received her bachelor's in neuroscience from Baylor University, where she was recognized as a distinguished student in neuroscience research. And so she went on to receive a master's in applied cognition and neuroscience from the University of Texas. And right now, as I said, she's in her third year as a PhD student at the University of Texas at Dallas. And she is a research assistant at the Center for Brain Health, studying the underlying, you're going to love this, neural mechanisms of social cognition to understand how people think and interact with others. And today we're going to be talking about implicit bias, what it is, and how we can use it to detect lying. They say that everybody lies. Everybody.
Everybody lies.
Isn't it like 100 times a day?
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I know that everybody lies, mm-hmm. and I know that we're really bad at detecting deception if the research is correct. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm really anxious to talk about it because it is important. And I don't, you know, if they say everybody lies, but some people lie more than others, right? And we'll talk about it and to what degree and what kind of lie is maybe. You know, you have like your, does this make me look fat lie? And you go, no, you know.
No.
No.
The little white lies.
Never. Never. Yeah, and so because you never want to hurt anybody. But I think that kind of lie is okay. But regular lying, no, I have a problem with it. And Jordan Peterson, one of my favorite guys, says you should never lie. You should always tell the truth. So that's one of the 12 rules of life. Did you know that?
I did not.
I did. I've actually started reading that book. So.
Really?
Yeah.
He's a good one.
So amazing. Who was it that was interviewing him? Lewis Howes. Mm-hmm. I saw it on social media a couple of days ago. It was so good. I just love that guy and the way he thinks. And speaking of another guy that I love the way he thinks, can I have that? Joe Rogan. Okay, Joe Rogan, who you know, Mo, of course.
Love Joe Rogan.
I love him too. I love that guy. I love the guts that he has. And I've seen him, you know, do his stand-up before. And you know, we think a lot alike, actually. We're both, huge proponents of flotation, sensory deprivation, nootropics, and a lot of things. He's just a really cool guy. And, okay, so Joe Rogan, he posted this today. He says, I was sick for a week, and today was the first day I was able to get a run in. It's amazing how just a week without exercise can cause so much mental weirdness. He says, like there's this unused physical energy bouncing around in my body, not knowing where to go. So it invades my mind and causes this uncomfortable angst. What really freaks me out is that this is the state that most people who don't exercise exist in all the time. Mm-hmm. If you can read this, it's not too late. Go get out there and move. It can radically improve your perspective. And I could not agree more. I would be in an insane asylum had I not learned to exercise regularly, starting at the age of about 21, I think is when it dawned on me, hey, I need to do this every day because it feels so good when I started suffering from anxiety. And that's one of the things we're going to be talking about with you today, yes. Mo, is 5 steps to manage stress and overcome limiting beliefs. I'm so into this. Absolutely. So you want to tease a little bit? Because I was all over your Instagram today.
Were you? Yeah, I was. I saw that. And I've got juicy information.
I got a bunch of juicy information, just really good stuff that I love some of the messaging you're putting
Absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely. Yeah, it all comes down to your mindset. It comes down to, and Joe Rogan kind of hits the nail on the head there, right? Like, it's your limiting beliefs. And that's the biggest thing we need to overcome. And I tried to simplify it down into 5 steps. Mm-hmm. There are multiples, but these are the 5 that I found in working with my clients that have worked the best. That if you can nail down these 5, then you have got a pretty good grasp on getting over yourself.
And these are going to be in your book.
Absolutely.
Well, I love this. This is one of the things that I typed up on my computer this morning that I read off your Instagram. What do you do when you're getting your ass kicked by life?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. You get up and you fight.
Well, yeah, it's, and that's the thing, right? Like, we all get our ass kicked.
I got my ass kicked last week. Badly, I might add.
Sometimes. Yeah. But, and what do you do, right? Especially when you're doing something brand new, you're going to, and that, you know, that's, I use that term as a way of saying, like, you know, go into something with a beginner's mind. Mm-hmm. But when I say, hey, you need to get your ass kicked.
Yeah. Where were you born and raised? Are you from New York?
No, I'm from Natchitoches, Louisiana.
What?
Yes.
Oh, right.
Right.
Well, you just have this kind of East Coast kind of attitude a little bit.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. No, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. But, you know, in when you're getting your ass kicked in whatever, business, life, sport, we don't like that. It's uncomfortable. And you've got to be comfortable with that and just understand that that's part of the learning process. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've gotten my ass kicked in almost every event that I've ever done, but that's taught me to build myself stronger.
Yeah. Well, that's basically, so last week I did. I got my butt kicked. I really did. And I had one of the worst weeks of my life last week. But, you know, I had to come to work, show up every day, try to do the best that I could. But, you know, when you're going through very difficult times, it gives you an opportunity to put yourself back together even stronger than you were. That's another thing I wrote on your Instagram post. One of my favorite things to talk about is the Japanese art of kintsugi.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. What? I absolutely love this. When I was going through some, do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I'm just so curious. I'm interested.
Well, you know what? We're not going to say it right now. We're going to make everybody stay tuned, and we're going to go to break. That's what we're going to do. And during Mo's segment, we're going to talk about it because it's incredibly good advice. So everyone, stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. Makes me not much wiser. Thanks for making me wider. Maybe learn a little One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. KetoMed, ketogenic metabolic nutrition. Use the code OLR for $40 off and free shipping. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Just gonna stand there and watch me burn. Well, that's all right because I like the way it hurts.
Welcome just back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos. I have Morris Brossette in studio with me and Linda. When Linda received her bachelor's in neuroscience from Baylor University, where she was recognized as a distinguished student in neuroscience research, she then went on to receive a master's in applied cognition and neuroscience from the University of Texas at Dallas. And Linda is currently a third-year PhD student at the University of Texas at Dallas and a research assistant at the Center for Brain Health, studying the underlying neural mechanisms of social cognition to understand how people think and interact with one another. She's also a vinyasa yoga instructor, and it's her first time in studio with us, and it's actually her first time on radio, and so it's so great to have her here. We're talking about what is implicit bias, and can we use it to detect lying? So let's start off. First of all, welcome to One Life Radio. So great to have you in studio with us, Linda.
Yeah, it's really great to be here. Thanks for having me.
No, it's our pleasure. It really is. So implicit bias. I had never even heard this term. So what is it and how does it relate to lying?
So implicit bias is kind of this underlying, like almost subconscious idea or belief that we hold. In a lot of the media, we have used and seen implicit bias used as kind of a racial kind of measure, but we've been using it to detect deception. So some of our research in the past has focused a lot on taking implicit bias, using the implicit association test, to see if we are more accurate at detecting deception. So a lot of the research in the past has shown when it comes to detecting deception, people are only about 54% accurate, which for...
Really?
Right. For something that...
What about your gut and your intuition and all that stuff?
Yeah. So for something that like we deal with on such a, like on a day-to-day basis, like every single day, we're making judgments about whether or not people are lying or telling the truth to us. It's kind of surprising to see that in the research, we don't see that people are very accurate. And part of it is, you know, it stems from this idea that in a lab setting, it's you don't know the person, you're not sure, like you're not being primed to think whether or not they're lying to you. But that's how real life is too. When you go order a coffee or you meet somebody for the first time, you're not sitting there wondering, is this person lying to me? How do I know if this person is lying to me? You don't think about that, and you don't have any
baseline.
I never
even think about it. I don't think about that unless somebody acts weird or something, or you know, then some sort of energy goes off.
Right.
And speaking of which, okay, because I'm such an energy person, I feel like I'm extremely intuitive, and people have told me that my whole life. Is there something real that you can't measure in a laboratory, that an energy that comes out of a human when they're lying?
So that's a question that we're still answering right now. There is research in the past that shows whether using the implicit association test, which we can go into a little bit more depth about later, or using kind of like a distraction test where people aren't really thinking about it, but it's kind of like simmering. People are more accurate at determining whether or not people are lying or telling the truth. And so there is kind of this potential that we do have this intuitive gut feeling. We're not entirely sure what it is. We're not entirely sure where in the brain this implicit deception mechanism may be working at, or even if there is one in general. But it's a question that we're actively trying to answer.
Well, you know, I was sitting here as you were speaking, listening and thinking, animals don't lie. Your dog doesn't have a reason to lie. Why do we lie? Like, why do we lie? What's at the root of it? Is it just humans are deceptive and greedy and sometimes awful? Or, I mean, seriously, because animals don't lie. They have no reason to lie.
They don't.
They, you know, right?
Are we born to lie? I don't know.
So potentially animals do exhibit deceptive behavior.
They do?
I'm not sure about like what the specifics are, but lying is not necessarily only humans.
Uh-huh.
But this idea that we tell lies, like we speak it with our voice, is uniquely human because language is uniquely human. And so a lot of it comes from a lot of evolutionary basis. So if you think about it, and your first thought might be, well, if lying is evolutionarily so important, like why aren't we better at it? But it's kind of this idea that while we do have this implicit cheating, social cheating mechanism that helps us determine whether or not people are lying, oftentimes we, like, from an evolutionary basis, it might have been more beneficial for our ancestors to be able to lie to get food than for somebody to be able to detect the lie and, like, keep the food away. So there is kind of this evolutionary basis. There's some research that shows that humans are very in tune for checking for social cheating. So there's this task called the waste and card sorting task, in which people are given the original task uses like a vowel, a consonant, an odd number, and an even number. And the task is like, well, if it's an odd number, then there's an even, if it's a vowel, then there's an even number on the other side or some variant of that. And so they're like, what do you have to do to check whether or not this is true? Well, it's like you have to flip the vowel, and then you also have to flip the even number, not the odd number. And so that second part is unintuitive. But when it comes to detecting social cheating, so they did the same task.
Define social cheating.
So they did the same task with like drinking age. So they had like a 17-year-old, a 22-year-old, beer and Coke. And when they were like, what two cards do you have to flip to figure out like who's like violating the rule here? People automatically know, oh, we have to check whether or not the person that's under 21 is drinking a beer, and we have to check who's drinking the beer. And so that the fact that people are so much better at that task and perform relatively poorly on the task in which they're given like the vowel, the consonant, the odd, and the even number kind of makes us think that there is a neural mechanism for social cheating. We're able to pick up on these like social cues about like what's right and what's not right.
So cues, okay, because that's one of the, I think people, a lot of people out there listening, I know you want me to ask the question. So, you know, what are the cues, and are they universal when a human being is lying?
Right. And so a lot of people are like, well, it's obviously the nonverbal cues that tell whether or not people are lying or telling the truth. When I was giving a presentation a few weeks ago, I asked people to tell like kind of two truths and a lie. And I was like, how do you know, like what made you think that this person was lying or telling the truth? And people always were like, oh, like this person, they just had a shifty look in their eye, or, you know, they kept looking off to the side. But in actuality, the research shows that nonverbal cues actually don't tell us very much at all. It's all about the verbal cues. It's all about the content. So if you think about it, when we're more familiar with people, we tend to be better at detecting deception. If you think like...
So familiarity helps.
Yeah. And the part of the reason we think it helps is because if you're familiar with the person, you're no longer paying such close attention to their nonverbal cues. You can actually concentrate on what they're saying.
You can hear it in their voice.
Right. So it's like when parents can tell whether or not their kids are lying or telling the truth. A lot of that comes from familiarity. It's like they have this baseline. They know their kid. They know when something is up. They can kind of have that mechanism for being like, yes, that's not quite right. And so it's kind of interesting because people really want to like, they want to find this like nonverbal cue. They want to find, you know, like in lie to me, that micro expression. And to a certain extent, we are still trying to see if there are like visual cues, if people like have some sort of physiological response to whether or not people are lying or telling the truth. But the research largely doesn't really support it.
Yeah. Would you have, are you curious about, well, Mo, what do you think about this? What do you want to ask Linda?
I've always heard that you can tell when someone's lying if they look to the left before they speak, because what I heard was that when you look to the left, it's stimulating your right brain, which is your creative side. So you're trying to think of something to lie about. Is that right?
What do you say, professor, junior professor over there?
that's not not a thing.
I'm over one.
Okay. Wrong. Well, I know when I make a lot of eye contact, right. I'm obsessed with it because I really want to, when I'm speaking with someone, I think it's very important. And if someone will ask me a question, sometimes I might look away and like look up because I'm trying not to focus. I'm trying to focus on what I'm thinking about and not, you know, the eye contact so much. But I did read something like someone that when they touch their nose, when they're lying, is that not true either?
Potentially, people have their own tells,
but
they're not like universal. So, like a person's tells are just a person's tells, which kind of gets back into that familiarity thing. Like, if you know a person really well, you know that they do something when they lie. Yeah. Like, you're gonna be
starting to move around and kind of get a little antsy.
Yeah, but that kind of again comes from this idea that like you're not searching for a nonverbal cue. You have this baseline. You know this person, and so it's almost like the content of their movements is kind of being like, oh, there's something not quite right here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm thinking of Jordan Peterson again, you know, and he says a lot of things. Stand up straight with your shoulders back. You know, I pulled it out of my notes because I carry it with me. His 12 rules for life. Treat yourself like someone you are responsible for helping. Make friends with people who want the best for you. Compare yourself to who you were yesterday, not to who someone else is today. I love this one. Do not let your children do anything that makes you dislike them.
I love that one.
That is so true.
I quote that to people.
Oh my gosh. It is so true. Don't let your kids do stuff that makes you dislike them.
Yep. How is that possible?
No. It's so true. Like, I don't know, just bad behaviors that you don't like. And one of the things that we're talking about is lying. I cannot stand a liar. I mean, I just really can't stand it when someone lies. Because usually if someone's lying, they're a thief too. They kind of go hand in hand. And so it's a very important thing, you know, and rule number 8 for him is tell the truth or at least don't lie. And I think that's an incredible piece of advice along with some of his other ones. It's really good book, and you know, I'm not getting paid for this by Jordan. I just really like the book, and I think, and you started reading it too, Linda. Okay, so anything else you want our listeners to know about lying that maybe would improve their understanding of it if they're dealing with someone who is a habitual liar? And you know what, that how do you become a habitual liar? Just by getting accustomed to doing it all the time?
I think people become habitual liars. This is like totally not based on research at all. Yeah. This is just anecdotal.
Yeah.
I think people become habitual liars by lying a lot. But actually, it's really interesting because some of the research into the neural mechanisms of deception detection shows that, or into the research in deception shows that frequent liars, their brain, their patterns of activation are actually more similar to people who are telling the truth than people who are lying. And it's the infrequent liars.
Say that again.
So people who are frequent liars show patterns of activation in their brain that's similar to truth tellers, but it's the infrequent liars that kind of have a different pattern of activation. This was just one study. And so it's, you know, take it with what it is as just like one study.
Yeah.
But there is research that suggests that people who are frequent liars, like it's almost like it's been rewired
into
their brain.
Well, and people lie about the dumbest stuff. I used to have this person that I knew. I'm not going to identify him, obviously, but this person, I don't even want to say their sex, would lie about the stupidest stuff, like what you had for lunch.
Yeah, and it's like, why
would you lie about that?
To do that?
Yeah, why do you need to do that? What is going on in the brain?
Like, there's a mental disorder that involves like being a habitual liar, like this inability to tell the truth. I'm not a clinical neuroscientist, so I don't really know, but some people's brains are just what it is.
They're wired differently. Well, it's great having you in studio. You're going to stay with us. We're going to talk with Morris Brossette about a lot of different things, but 5 steps to manage stress, to overcome limiting beliefs. And, you know, I want to talk a little bit about yoga. You're a yoga instructor, and I think yoga is such a beautiful practice.
Love yoga.
To overcome stress. So, everyone, stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
A rich old man, and she won't have.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior plant-based protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. KetoMed, ketogenic metabolic nutrition. Use the code OLR for $40 off and free shipping. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. I love this song. Oh my gosh, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette. I've got a whole bunch of people in the studio with me that I'm about to announce, but I want to let you know that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast or subscribe to our newsletter. You can also go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior. Sun Warrior is a premium, all-natural, raw superfood company dedicated to providing the best vegan plant-based protein powders and supplements. Go to their website, sunwarrior.com, and use the code OLR for 20% off anything you order from them. It's a great company. They've been with us for a very long time. I absolutely love their products. And of course, same for Honest Hemp. Their products are natural alternatives for managing your stress, reducing mild anxiety, and relieving pain from exercise-induced inflammation. You can visit them at honesthemp.com and use the code OLR for 20% off. And of course, the Wellbeing Journal is now available in both print and digital version. Order online at wellbeingjournal.com and Nature's Plate. They offer handcrafted 100% vegan, always non-GMO, ready-to-go meals to help lighten your cooking. And you can visit them at naturesplate.com to order ahead. I absolutely love them. There's three or four locations in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And of course, Thorne Research, you have higher standards, and so do we. Shop for our Thorne at our Thorne dispensary for 20% off and free shipping on everything you need for supplements. It's a great company. One of the best out there, just like Sun Warrior. And our newest sponsor, KetoMed. I've actually got some of the product here in studio with me because I was going to put it in the break room because it makes it's great to put in your coffee if you're on the ketogenic diet. It's a meal replacement, and it's an advanced ketogenic formula, high quality pure MCT, 20 grams per serving, designed to induce a state of nutritional ketosis. It's non-GMO, hormone and antibiotic free. Protein, zero sugar and net carbs, no artificial flavors, colors, or sweeteners. Check it out at ketomad.com. Okay, we have a great show continuing on here today. We've got Linda Wen staying with us. She is a third-year PhD student at the University of Texas. And Morris Mo Brosette, he is currently the Director of Mindset and Nutrition at the Adaptive Training Foundation. Morris has been in the health and fitness industry for over 24 years. He is an expert on human behavior, mindset, movement, and nutrition. He uses techniques learned personally and in his work with athletes of every level to help his clients manage stress, reduce pain, and achieve goals. Mo has helped many people in the public and private companies throughout the implementation of his corporate mindset program. Always a pleasure to have you in studio, Mo Brosette. You can find him at brosetteperformance.com. That's B-R-O-S-S-E-T-T-E performance. Brosette. Am I saying it right? Is it
that's right.
Brosette, yes. Not Brosette?
No, Brosette.
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 Because it's French, not right. Italian. We went through this before.
Correct.
She always tries to make everything
I always
Italian.
Try to make everything
everything's
Italian.
Italian. That's
everything.
Fine.
Yeah, I know. I'm joking with you. But it's so great to have you in studio. And I thoroughly enjoyed some of your great messaging on your Instagram page this morning. I did. And today we're talking about five steps to manage stress and overcome limiting beliefs. We talked about this at the opening of the show. How not to let life kick your butt, right?
Right. Well, you need to let it kick your butt. That's where you learn.
That's right. That's right. I love it. I love it. Okay. So, you know, we all experience stress. Everyone out there listening during our lifetime, sometimes daily. I think stress really is a part of daily life, some more than others. But how can we manage it? I know you have five steps. So let's talk about them.
Right. So, and you're right. There was a point in time where people were trying to get rid of stress, like eliminate stress. That's impossible. You've got stress from work, stress from life. You've got environmental stressors. You've got physical stressors from exercise. So it all compounds. And if you don't take care of those and understand what those are, then you start to get held back. And it's the acceptance piece. And that's number one. And that's the first thing that you have to do. And it's not about eliminating stress. It's just about managing it and managing kind of your expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And it really comes down to acceptance of where you are, mm-hmm, and what's going on with you. Right. Like you quoted Joe Rogan. You read his post
Joe
the other
Rogan.
Day, right?
So do you.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the guy. He's incredible. But like he is an avid fitness guy. Mm-hmm. He rolls jiu-jitsu. He works out hard. But when he can't work out, as he just said in that post, he doesn't know what to do with himself. His mind's going crazy. When in actuality, probably that week off was probably the best thing for him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. Usually when you're in that situation where you're always on the go, your immune system gets suppressed. Then you get sick. That's the body's way of saying, hey, man, you need to slow down.
Yeah.
So I'm going to slow you down.
So, you know, I'm one of those people that really has a hard time taking any time off.
Yeah.
It like makes me a little crazy. I'm not a big vacationer.
Right.
A couple of days, I'm good. I want to go back to work. And so what's wrong with me? Go
You're
ahead.
Driven.
I'm driven.
No, there's nothing, but it's
am
about,
I addicted to it? Is it adrenaline thing?
Yeah, it could be, but it also, it's kind of a fear thing for some people, right? You fear that if you're not doing this, you're going to get left behind. Somebody else is doing it when you're not. And that's that acceptance piece, right? You need to accept where you are in life and work with what you have in that moment. It doesn't matter what you did yesterday. It really doesn't matter what you have to do next week. What matters is right now. And until you can accept those points, then you're really not, you're never going to be able to live in the present moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love having you in studio. I do.
Thank you.
I'm going to quote out of your Instagram. So you wrote something about.
I don't think anyone's ever quoted me before.
Well, no. Well, I'm about to. It says everyone feels afraid at some point, and you wrote that. Mm-hmm. You know, and they do. And why? And how can we overcome that?
Well, it's not about not being afraid. It's about having fear and doing it anyway.
Mm.
Because what separates, there's a great book called Peak Performance. And in this book, they talk about the difference between elite world-class runners and the average person that runs a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they say that the elite runners have the same anxiety, the same pre-race stress, because they've got money on the line. But so do the people that are doing their first marathon or their fifth marathon. Regardless of how they finish or what time they finish in, they still get a medal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the difference is the elite athletes take that fear and they use it to make sure that everything is done right, that their nutrition's dialed in, they stay with their paces. Whereas the average person has that fear and they start to think about all the things that could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So then instead of using that to amp up their abilities to progress in whatever they're doing in business or sport, we use it to hold us back. We get afraid, like, oh God, all these things might happen. What if I go on this radio show and I mess up? But it's feeling the fear and doing it anyway. And Alex Honnold, I don't know if we talked about this last time. He is the I guess star of the documentary Free Solo that came out that won an Oscar. And you know, he in free soloing, rock climbing, you've got a zero margin of error. If you make one mistake, you literally die.
Right.
So he said, you know, He said, I work through the fear until it's not scary anymore. So these people that work through fear, because we all feel it, you find what you're afraid of, and then you go, okay, what's the first step to getting past this?
Mm-hmm.
What's the next step in doing it better so that I'm not afraid that whatever the outcome that I'm creating in my mind is not going to happen?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I touched on it a little bit about, you know, last week was one of the worst weeks of my life. I'm not going to share exactly what happened, but it was life-changing. But the thing that came out of it is, yes, I suffered all week mentally, emotionally, spiritually. I was really struggling to even get out of bed. And yet this morning, over the weekend, I had time to reflect and rest and just, you know, focus on my family and things that are important to me. And I feel a resurgence, like this strength inside of me from overcoming extreme stress, and it's empowering. That's what people need to understand, that it's good to go through really bad stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
It is, and when you get to the other side of it, you're like, holy shaze, I feel so good because I made it through, and now I have a plan, and I'm going to work it, and I'm going to improve the things in my life that were wrong. I'm going to improve the things in my family that were wrong, and just have a better life, and everybody goes through it, everybody.
Absolutely. Well, and that's the thing. You hit the nail on the head with that, is that we're afraid to be afraid. We think that if we feel sad, if we feel angry, if we feel disappointed, then something's wrong. We shouldn't have those mm-hmm. feelings. Whereas as humans, that's emotions that we're supposed to feel. It's just not becoming a victim to those emotions. It's right. having it and giving yourself the space yep. and the time to sit in it for a minute. Like, why yep. am I sad? What's going on? And then going, okay, I've had this emotion. I've had this feeling. Now it's time to work myself out. Just yeah. like working through the fear.
Yeah. Well, and you have to, I wrote this down on your Instagram too, but, how important is it to surround yourself with the right people? When one of your five steps is find your anchor.
Absolutely.
Find your anchor and be critical about who is in your circle, right?
Absolutely,
that's
yes.
so crucial.
Yeah, you have to surround yourself with the right type of enablers. Because like when in my work with the adaptive athletes, with our veterans and civilians, they've been told by air quote medical experts so many times that you'll never walk again, you'll never do this again, you'll never do that again. We don't believe that, and we prove it wrong all the time.
I love it.
Because when you surround yourself with the right type of people, like, hey man, it's not up to me to say if you're ever going to walk again, mm-hmm. right? Then use that and use that ability to of the other person to make you strong when you're weak. And mm-hmm. that's surrounding yourself with the right type of enablers. And when you find your anchor, whatever it is, it can be a version of yourself in the past. It can be a version of yourself that you want to see in the future. And that is what you hold on to. So when I go into every day, I see where I want to go and I see where I'm going to go versus where I want to go. Mm-hmm. And I use that as an anchor. And that's what I'm talking about in that second point, which is find your anchor. I've used that with athletes in the past. I've used that with some of my corporate clients in the past of, what version of you are you strong? What version of you do you see is strong, is confident, is whatever you want and need for your outcome to be? Latch onto that. That is your anchor.
Mm, I love it. And more coming up with Mo Brissett. Morris is your official name. I'm not going to be your mom because you said your mom calls you Morris. I'm going to call you Mo. And we'll be back, everyone. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. KetoMed, ketogenic metabolic nutrition. Use the code OLR for $40 off and free shipping. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorn Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Work it, make it, do it, makes us all the better, faster, stronger. Work it,
that don't kill me, can only make us stronger. I need you to hurry up, man, cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos. I've got Morris or Mo Brissett in studio with me and Linda Wen. Before we get back to our content, I want to let everyone know that you can go to our website at onelifradio.com to download and listen to our podcast or subscribe to our newsletter. You can also go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. KetoMed, Ketogenic Metabolic Nutrition. Use the code OLR for $40 off and free shipping. Honest Hemp, Happy Healthy Honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, Plant-Based Meals to Go. Check them out. I love their food. I absolutely do. There's several locations here in Dallas. Be sure to check them out. You can order ahead online. And of course, Paleo Magazine and the Wellbeing Journal and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. And be sure to go to our Thorn Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. And thanks for listening to One Life Radio. I love doing this show, especially on the days that I have such great people in studio with me, like Morris Brossett and Linda Wen. Morris is currently the Director of Mindset and Nutrition at the Adaptive Training Foundation. He has been in the health and fitness industry for over 24 years. He is an expert on human behavior, mindset, movement, and nutrition, and he uses techniques learned personally and in his work with athletes of every level to help his clients manage stress, reduce pain, and achieve goals. Mo has helped many public and private companies throughout the implementation of his corporate mindset program, and you can find him at his website, brossetteperformance.com. That's B-R-O-S-S-E-T-T-E performance.com. Okay, we're talking about five steps to manage stress and overcome limiting beliefs. Okay, limiting beliefs. So many people, you know, do have very limiting beliefs. Talk to them about it. What are they doing wrong, and why is that so bad for you?
Well, it's bad for you because you're not reaching your full potential. It's especially with young people coming out of college and going into the corporate world. They're kind of held back by what they think they can do, because you walk into this office setting, especially, and you've got the executives, you've got the CEOs, your higher ups, your managers, and they don't know how to speak their truth. They don't know how to come forward and say, hey, I've got a great idea. I think we could do this for the company. I'm actually about to start working with the company and doing some speaking for them and working one-on-one with them on this exact thing. Because the limiting beliefs that these young people can't do this could potentially be holding the company back.
Yeah.
And could be, you could be the next Steve Jobs. You don't know. But you step up and do it.
Exactly. And, you know, and so, you know, Linda, I'm going to bring you into this with your mastermind over there in psychology, working on your PhD, your third year student at the University of Texas, studying all kinds of stuff at the Center for Brain Health, which is a great place for so many different things that happen there. It's a great place to get educated about brain health. Sandra Bond Chapman, I absolutely love that woman, respect her so much, and all the hard work that she's done to bring so much awareness to the world about the human mind. And so, speaking of the human mind, you know, I think that young people getting out of college or even before, like, what do you want to do with your life? You know, what do you want to do? People get too caught up in that. Right. You know, you're studying psychology, okay? You're going to get your PhD. Maybe you'll decide to do something else 10 or 20 years from now. And I just think people limit themselves by thinking they have to decide at a really early age what they want to do with the rest of their life. Had you told me when I was 21 that I was going to be on radio, I'd be like, what? You know, after having a career in business and restaurant industry, even now, you know, or getting in the spa business, all these things that I've gotten into myself personally, because I didn't limit my beliefs. I said, hey, whatever, you know, when you are in flow with the universe, things will come into your life. Don't you agree, Mo?
Absolutely. Well, you have to have a growth mindset.
You have
That's
to.
That's what it is. And you're exactly right. We come out of school or whatever, and you think, I have to do this. And if I don't do this, then I'm not successful. But when you open your mind and you go into something, and that's why I say get your ass kicked, or go into things with a childlike curiosity, learn. Everything in life is an evolution. You know, we were talking about ancestrally earlier, right? And through evolution, you went through different seasons, different times. You had to evolve. Evolving as a human was part of growth. That was part of survival. But for some reason, we've gotten stuck in this. Well, I majored in business, so I have to be a business. I have to do this, right? But that might not be what you're meant to do.
Was that your first major? I know so many people change their major like two or three times. It's so common.
I was pre-med.
Oh, there you go.
Going into
Mine was
college.
Theater.
Theater. And it's so crazy. Like, if you had told me like 5-10 years ago when I was an undergrad that I would be teaching yoga now, I wouldn't believe it.
Right.
Like, I didn't work out at all until I started my PhD.
Yeah. And so we limit ourselves, you know, and it cripples you when you do that.
Absolutely. Yes. And you have to have that ability. You can't not allow things to come up and say, let me explore this. Same thing. Like, I was a theater major my first 2 years in college. And then
dead yet.
No, I'm not.
You might end up on Broadway.
Oh, man.
I'm serious.
Just
I have
wait.
A cousin who was in the bagel business for years in New York. Now he's on Off-Broadway. Seriously, he was
Sometimes
on The Sopranos. He wasn't
it.
Trained as an actor. He just was naturally an actor.
From
quite
bagels
good at it.
To Broadway.
From bagels to Broadway.
There's your book. There you go.
Okay, so these five steps, I can hear Marie right now talking in my ear saying, yeah. I want to yes. hear the five steps. So yes. the five steps to manage stress and overcome limiting beliefs. What are all of them? All five.
The first one is acceptance. Well, you mean to go into them one by one?
Yeah. Or
so acceptance. Okay. And again, accepting who you are and where you, what your situation is at this moment in time. Finding your anchor is number two. Finding that version of yourself, either present or past or future, that you can latch onto that makes you either strong, confident, calm, whatever the action calls for. The third is focusing and getting your ass kicked. So when you're doing something new, it's gonna be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You're not gonna be good at it.
I love the scene. I'm just got it in my head right now. Jim Carrey kicking his own ass yes. in the bathroom. And Liar, Liar. Oh, my gosh.
You're so
talk
awesome.
About
yeah.
bringing the show together
exactly.
With that. But
yeah.
that's so funny,
yes.
right?
And that's exactly. You've got to do that. The fourth step is rewiring your brain. Literally, like we talked about neuroscience and neuroplasticity. The ability for the brain to reconfigure itself into the behavioral pattern that you want it to become is incredible. And we can do that once you have those other three things locked in. And the fourth one, or the fifth one, is I just call it you do you. And basically that is don't worry about other people.
Oh, I
you
love
can't,
that.
I can't control you. Mm-hmm. I can't control anyone else, especially when you're in business.
Yeah.
A lot of my clients that I work with are busy professionals, executives yep. that work with, and they're and a lot of them are females as well. They're working with these alpha males that are just throwing stuff at them all day.
Yep.
You can't control that person. I can control me. And that's what I'm going to focus on. Mm-hmm. Because when I focus on me, then the growth starts
you
to happen.
Stay in your own lane.
Stay in
right?
your lane, bro.
Stay in your own lane.
yeah.
And learn to and know when to walk away.
Absolutely.
You got to know when to walk away. Yeah. I had a personal experience a couple of weeks ago. After 10 years of fighting about something, I walked away from all of it.
Yeah.
Walked away from every bit of it.
Yeah.
And it was the most freeing feeling in the world.
Right. And you have to understand also that when someone, and I used to use the term coming at you. A lot of times it's your boss or your coworker. It's not personal, but we take those things as personal. And that's where that you do you comes in as well, right? You can't take on whatever's going on with them emotionally because we don't know. I mean, I don't know what happened to you last week, but if you came in and you were aggressive with me or Aviana or someone else, like that's not personal. I've got to still do me and not focus on you.
Yeah, absolutely. Were you named after Morris the cat?
No. No.
Do you know who that is?
I do.
I'm just trying to make a joke.
No, I got it. You know how many times I heard that when I was little? Like, Morris, dinner.
There it is.
I love it. All right. So great having you in studio. Also, you too, Linda. Thank you so much, both of you. And everyone, thank you so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. You know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and kick some ass.